Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, we stand before your word today. And God, I want to humble myself. I humble myself before you, Lord, as I come to share your word. Holy Spirit, please fill me up. I need you so much. Holy Spirit, please fill this room and fill all of us up, God, so that we may hear what you want to share to us, Father God. And Lord, that we may hear your word and we may catch your heart, Father, and really walk in and obey and experience the fullness that you want to give to us, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Come lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So this morning as we start, I want to ask you a question. Who wants to be exalted? All right. Oh, so good. Who wants to be lifted up? All right. So let me ask you in another way. I think you already know the answer. Who wants God to exalt you? Yeah, amen. So today's message is for those of us who want to be exalted by the Lord. The passage I want to read is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time." Again, 1 Peter 5, 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So many Christians, right, you know, feel like, oh no, I cannot be lifted up. Oh no, I need to stay small because I want to be humble. Let me stay small and, you know, not being lifted up. But that's not really true, because throughout the scripture, God makes it clear that God wants to lift us up. It is his heart to honor us. For example, 1 Samuel chapter 2, 30 says, "Far be it from me," this is God speaking, "far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." But he says, those who honor me, God says, I will honor that person. John 12, 26 says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Proverbs 22:4 says, "Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life." But there's a big difference between God honoring us versus exalting ourselves. Even though, from the world's eyes, it may look the same. Whether God honors me, I'm lifted up, or I lift myself up, it looks the same. But there is a complete night and day difference according to God's standard. Bible is full of stories of people who take it upon themselves to lift themselves, and it never ends well. Stories such as Absalom. We all know the story of how Absalom wanted to lift himself up and how he ended up being killed. Korah, in the wilderness of Moses and Aaron. He gathered all these people to go against Moses and Aaron, and basically the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, his family, and all the people that were following him. Haman, in the book of Esther, he wanted to lift himself up, but he was judged. Even the disciples in the Gospels, they were arguing among themselves, who is to be greatest, and then Jesus had to rebuke them, and they had to learn a lesson. Because lifting ourselves up is pride, and the Bible says God opposes the proud. But when God lifts us up, he gives us honor beyond what we deserve, beyond our abilities, so that he can use us to further the kingdom of God and serve people. So today, I want to explore what it means to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and how we can obey him so that in due course, in due time, God can indeed lift us up. I just have 3 points this morning. Number one, humble yourself before God or fear God. The first aspect of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, of course, is before the Lord. Our God is God, and we are not. He's an almighty God. He can do all things. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who takes it away. The Bible says the heart of kings is like streams of water in the hands of the Lord. He directs it wherever he wills. We cannot predict even just one day, right? Even 1 minute in the future. Of course, definitely not months and weeks, even though we try. We cannot even predict one day, 1 minute in front of us. But God knows everything. He knows from the beginning to the end. So, why does it not make sense for us to humble ourselves before the Lord? Why would we not trust God? Why would we not fear God and think that we can do it on our own? But that's not everything. God is not just all-powerful. God is not just all-knowing, but he is love. He loves us so much that he gave away his only son, his beloved son, to die for us on the cross because he loves us. He promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he guides us in the way we should go. So he's not only powerful, but he loves us and cares about us so much. How wonderful is that? To be led by God is the greatest privilege. You know, I'm an earthly father. I'm a well-meaning earthly father. But the Bible says I'm evil, right? Because Jesus says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more with the Father in heaven? The Bible says I'm evil. I'm imperfect. But even then, I know that if my children heed my instruction, I know they will be much, much better off. And the Bible says that when our children heed our instruction, the earthly father, I mean, their destiny will be eternally better if they follow my instruction. But how much more if we follow the perfect heavenly father who knows all things, who is all powerful, has infinite wisdom, when we follow and heed his instruction and follow his leading, how much more incredible will our life be? Again, it is an incredible, it's an indescribable privilege that God leads us and guides us, and that we can follow him. Just super short, three practical ways of fearing God. Let's talk about that. Number one, resist sin. God hates sin. In fact, sin is such a serious matter that Jesus Christ himself had to die for us on the cross to resolve our sin problem. God didn't just say, okay, I'm just going to forgive. From this moment on, you're all cleansed. Now you live a better life. God didn't say that. Because the sin problem was so grievous that Jesus Christ himself had to die this shameful death on the cross for us. That is the price that God had to pay. Sin is not a small matter. Sin is a serious matter. Living under grace, it is easy to think that sin doesn't really matter because we are forgiven, because of grace of God and the forgiveness of God is so great. But the Bible says we cannot profess to have fellowship with God and then yet walk in darkness. If we do that, we lie and do not practice the truth. So, what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Missing whose mark? It is missing God's mark. Sin is what God tells us through the scripture what sin is. It is not based on what we think is acceptable, what we think is bad. It is not up to our standard or our emotion, how we feel about a matter. But it is what the scripture says is sin. It is what scripture says is not the will of God. That is sin. Resisting sin doesn't mean we have to be perfect. But it does mean agreeing with God and making a decision in our heart to resist sin. And then taking practical measures to make sure that we can walk it out. Okay. Number two, repent. Repent quickly. At the same time, our Father's grace and forgiveness is real. As much as we need to resist sin, and God requires it of us, his forgiveness and his grace is also real. In our resistance to sin, we will fail. It is inevitable. But the Father God promises that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So even when we sin and we fall, the love of the Father God for us never changes. He desires for us to come back to him, receive his forgiveness, and be restored because he is the only one who can forgive us and restore us. Fearing God, therefore, means repenting and repenting quickly when we fall and relying on his forgiveness instead of wallowing in condemnation and despair. When we wallow in our condemnation and despair and not go to God immediately after we fall, it breaks the heart of God. Because God loves us. He's a loving Father. And that's precisely why He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us, for our freedom. You know, many Christians have it backward. I feel like so many of us, you know, many Christians focus on the grace of God before they sin. So when they're fighting temptation, should I sin, should I not sin? And they really want to sin because temptation is great. And they think, oh, but there is forgiveness. It's okay. I have grace. And so they think about the grace of God before they sin. But then after they sin, they go, oh, the fear of God. How could I have done that? Oh, I'm in so much shame. You know, it's shameful. I cannot go back to God. But it's the opposite. We got it completely backward. What we should do is before we sin, we got to remember the fear of the Lord and say, oh, no, God is holy. I cannot sin against God. But once we fall, we need to immediately remember the grace and the forgiveness of God and run to the Father right away, not the other way around. I really wanted to say that for a long time. But today I have the opportunity. Yeah, so we focus on the fear of God before you sin, and then remember the grace of God after you sin, not the other way around. Yeah? So let's not break God's heart, okay? If we do not return to Him, it breaks our Father's heart even more so. Let's not break His heart. Let's come back to Him right away. And number three, obey God. And lastly, humbling ourselves before the Lord involves obedience. Whatever He tells us to do, whether we like it or not, whether it makes sense to us or not, right? Whether it's convenient for us or not, trusting in God, trusting that He knows what He's doing and that He is our good shepherd and we are the sheep. It is faith to know that God is in control and He has our future and hope in mind and therefore following His guidance. Okay, and then point number two, humbling ourselves before the Lord involves humbling ourselves before our leaders and submitting to leaders. I know it's not a popular topic in this day and age, and a lot of that is because of all the, you know, spiritual abuse and all the different things that have happened in the past, in recent times. I understand those things are important, but at the same time, what has happened with some of the popular leaders and some of the abuses that, you know, people have experienced in the past does not negate the biblical and eternal truth about submitting to leadership. We know that there are many examples from the scriptures about the man of God submitting to the leadership, such as David. David had two chances to kill Saul, who was by then his enemy, but he said, I will not lay my hands on the Lord's anointed. And I don't understand how he could do that, but I know that God cared about it. It mattered to the Lord. And in fact, the whole context of today's verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, is actually in the context of submitting to leadership. If we read a little bit further, so 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7, it says, young men, in the same way, submit yourselves to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time He may exalt you. Cast your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. It says, submit yourselves to your elders and your leaders. And lastly, even our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, though He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but He submitted to the leadership of the Father God, and He obeyed God, even though He wasn't equal with God. And so Jesus shows us the ultimate example of submitting to leadership, submitting to the leadership of the Father God. So how do we know if we are submitting to leaders? I just want to talk about three real signs or three tests, really short, to know, do we really submit to leadership? I think the first sign is gossip. The first sign is gossip. And I trust and believe no one here is struggling with gossip, you know? But let's talk about it because, you know, it's going to be recorded. So who knows? Maybe some people, other people will listen and be convicted. But, hey, we are all susceptible, you know? And are we talking behind our leaders' back and spreading negative ideas about them, right? Or we may not actively gossip, but if we're on the receiving end, if we're listening to gossip, do we approve or do we participate and do we agree with the gossip, even if we don't talk about it? That's still the same thing, right? You know? And gossip is a beginning of rebellion. Because gossip is how you gather people to your side, right? In order to do rebellion, what do? You got to form a group. How do we form a group to resist the leadership? Well, it starts by gossiping, talking negative things. And gossip is the beginning of rebellion. And therefore, gossip, that God hates gossip. If you're participating in it, whether actively or inactively, we need to go to God in repentance and ask for his help. Another test, I believe, is offense. Do we take offense? Do we easily take offense at our leaders and the way they do things? It's easy to fall into this trap of offense. This is much harder to overcome than gossip. Because, why? Because our leaders are not perfect. No leader is perfect. Our leaders are not perfect. Therefore, if you focus on their imperfections, it's easy. We have ton of reasons, potentially, to take offense. Submitting to leadership does not mean that we agree with them on all the matters, but we cannot hold on to offense and bitterness. We need to ask for God's grace and mercy and to let go of bitter root. And the last point is, last test to see if we're submitting to leadership is, do we bless our leaders from the heart? Do we genuinely seek their good and their success? I think sometimes what's possible is, we don't gossip. We don't take offense because, we know it's bad. We don't hold on to bitter root. But we're still hurt a little bit. It's like, our leader, this and that. We're a little bit hurt, okay? Not a lot, a little bit hurt. And then we don't really desire their full success, 100% success, for them to really step into just the fullness of God's blessing and everything that God has in store for them in our heart of hearts. So even if we do not gossip or take offense, if we do not genuinely want the success of our leaders, full success from our heart, I believe it is an indication that there are things that need to be pruned further in our heart. And I believe, really, God, really wants us to get to the bottom of this. It's not okay to take a little bit of offense, take a little bit of bitterness or jealousy. Ecclesiastes says, dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. I was really surprised to find this verse. It talks about dead flies, ruining the ointment, perfume. But it says, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. And so little folly is not okay. And so, again, let us go to the Lord for mercy and grace so that we may have the full, may be able to fully give God our heart. And I'm done. Point number three, the last aspect of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God is humbling ourselves before people whom we are called to serve. As I mentioned, the reason why God wants to exalt us and lift us up is so that we can serve and love the people whom he calls us to serve. Our calling is to serve, not to lord it over people. Jesus has taught us through his ultimate action of humility when he washed the disciples' feet while knowing that they were going to betray him. Thus, humbling ourselves in the sight of God must also include humbly serving and loving the people that God sends our way. If we want to live the kind of life that God exalts and in through which God lifts us up. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray together. Would you mind? No worship. Okay. All right, great. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, let's pray together. Yeah, so thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. And let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord to search our heart. And let's ask the Lord if there's anything that he's speaking to us this morning. And also this message is something that I'm also, trying to live out before the Lord. as He leads me deeper, deeper, and as He, you know, cleanses my heart more, as He prunes me, you know. You know, I thought I was doing pretty well before, but then recently, you know, God had to really convict me and show me more areas to be pruned. And so let's just go to the Lord and let's ask for His mercy and grace so that we may obey God and draw closer, you know, to Him. Oh, Father God, we're so thankful this morning. We're so thankful this morning because of Your grace and because of Your mercy, oh, Father God. Lord, You are not angry with us forever. Lord, You're slow to anger, and Your loving kindness endures forever. And God, it is because of Your kindness and Your grace that we are here today and we've come thus far. So, Lord, Father God, you know, whatever we may be going through, whatever our state of heart is, God, we want to come before You. We want to repent before You. We want to give You our heart. That's what You're looking for, Father God. You're not demanding. You don't demand perfection from us, Father God. But, Lord, You demand the heart. Lord, Father God, Lord, yeah. So, Lord, give us grace to offer up all of our heart and obey You as You lead us, Holy Spirit. And as You convict us, God, you know, repent and follow You. And know that, Lord, You love us just as we are, with all of Your heart, even right now. And we thank You so much, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I believe we should bring the chairs, you know, up. So can we just form a circle here? No? Yeah, we need to put the chairs back for them. Yeah, oh, yeah, okay.
Contact you. I lost my phone.
Okay.
I'll give you my number later.
All right. Yeah, so as we begin this time, let's, you know, let's pray. Let's pray for the leadership of this church. You know, let's pray for P. Sam. Let's pray for P. Kenny. Let's pray for Pastor Luo Yi. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for Pastor Navarro, right? Let's pray for that next item. Thank you for reminding us. But yeah, let's just pray for the leadership of our church. Let's pray for the board members. Let's pray for the lay pastors, Pastor Chris, P. Jackie, you know,